This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Marijuana and its non-trippy cousin, CBD, are touted to treat everything from pain, stress disorders, glaucoma, cancer, eating disorders, and a plethora of other conditions. Though medical marijuana is currently legal in 23 states, it's still deemed illegal by the federal government, leading to a paucity of scientific research. The purple haze swirling around this lack of knowledge is blinding. Just discussing the use of medical marijuana and CBD by veterinarians is illegal in 49 states. California is the only one where they can legally do so with pet owners. Yes, marijuana and CBD are natural. You can find them in everything from toothpaste and tea, ointments and cookies, candy and tinctures, but that doesn't make these products inherently safe. What other nefarious substances may be lurking in these products? Then there's the problem of trying to determine which product is best for a particular problem. How much should you give? My guest is not going to bogart all his knowledge. Dr. Robert Silver is one of the foremost authorities on the topic of medical marijuana and CBD in our pets. Dr. Silver is a 1982 graduate of Colorado State University's College of Veterinary Medicine, with a master's in cardiopulmonary physiology, also from CSU. Dr. Silver helped to found and is chief medical officer of RX Vitamins, an exclusive veterinary nutraceutical company for the past 25 years. Dr. Silver is also the author of the peer-reviewed article in Animals.com, The Endocannabinoid System of Animals. Dr. Silver is offered textbook chapters on veterinary cannabis and published his classic, Medical Marijuana for Your Pet. Today, Dr. Silver will share his clinical and research-based knowledge of cannabis and especially CBD oil in veterinary species. So, if that introduction hasn't given you the munchies, go get your stuff. Come right back. We'll be right back after this short break to talk about veterinary medicine, cannabis, and CBD. As you know, I love pets. I have two cats, and they have made my home their home. I just pay the mortgage. My bed, I got a bigger one. Why? Because the cats sleep on it. And yes, when you're sleeping with cats, you have to extricate yourself sometimes because you dare not move them. That is their space. That's all the stuff that I can live with. What I can't deal with is a messy litter box that stinks. So I use Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal. It clumps tight around the odor and destroys it for 7 days of an odor-free home. Guaranteed. I do recommend, however, that you scoop daily, but sometimes life gets in the way because I find an odor-free home is a happy home for me and my cats. Arm & Hammer, more power to you.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. Silver, thank you for being with us today. This is a topic that is on the forefront of everyone's mind right now. I talk about it almost daily in my practice.
Well, it certainly is. And I really appreciate your having me come on so I can clear up some of the fog regarding this remarkable plant and the extracts from this remarkable plant.
With marijuana in general and CBD having been illegal for so long, and you being so knowledgeable, how'd you come by all this knowledge?
Well, in my practice, I integrate herbal and nutraceutical therapies with conventional medicine. And so I've always been interested in looking at botanical solutions or using those adjunctively with my patients. So when the laws changed that allowed medical marijuana for humans in Colorado, where I am practicing back in 2006, patients started trickling into my practice who had been plying their animals with some medical marijuana. And these were animals that I'd been having a great difficulty trying to treat. They were in their 11th hour of their diseases, and no matter what I would do conventionally or complementarily, you know, it just didn't prove successful. And they'd be coming in with these difficult patients, and they were doing better. And, you know, first I was thinking, maybe I did it. But they said, no, sorry, doc. Shared a little bit of my stash with Fido, and look at this. So, you know, as a scientist, as an herbalist, as a veterinarian, I started looking at the literature, and I was surprised to see how much good quality studies were already out there supporting the value of cannabis for a variety of medicinal purposes, and also documenting that although there are some risks with its use, that on the whole, it's really a fairly safe material within limits, of course. So that kind of got me interested. And so I started, after I got more educated, I started trying it on my own animals first and learned about what happens when you give them too much. You know, and I'm sure a lot of vets out there have seen them come into their office, or ER vets see them come into the ERs. We've seen an incredible uptick in ER admissions for cannabis toxicosis since these states have been going legal with medical marijuana. So I learned how to basically how to make it more safe for them. And then 2013, 2014, the Farm Bill passed, which legalized hemp. And hemp is the cousin of marijuana. They're both the cannabis plants. The hemp plant contains a very, very small amount of THC, and as such is not psychotropic and doesn't create the kinds of problems typically that we see when dogs ingest too much THC. So I felt that hemp and the CBD that is so high in hemp and the THC that is so low in hemp spoke highly as far as its beneficial application to our veterinary species. And so I started working within the hemp industry and learned a lot about the growing and the processing and the extracting and how the products are made and how the products are given, and worked with various dosing strategies, pilot studies to find out what are appropriate dosings. And anyway, the result's been a long process that has resulted in my having learned quite a bit about this topic, to put it briefly.
Dr. Silver, I mean, it's fascinating and it can be frustrating, I think, to so many of the clients that want to use, pet owners that want to use CBD. They hear about it. It's being, you know, just in all the newspapers and magazines, pet magazines, et cetera, talking about the benefits of CBD. But is it really totally safe? Can there be adverse side effects? And where should they get it? I mean, it's hard to know. Are you going to your local pharmacy and dispensary? Are you going to the gas station to get this stuff? It seems as though it's hard to know, what are you getting?
Well, is that one question?
Well, yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Let me work
on which part you like.
Yeah.
Is it safe?
We'll start with the safe part. And there have been several published safety studies by Cornell and by CSU showing that dosages that would be much higher than we think we would be using clinically are essentially safe when given for periods of 6 to 12 weeks. We are seeing some elevation in liver values, mainly alkaline phosphatase, although we're not seeing concurrent increases in bile acids or ALT or AST. And it seems to be relatively transient. But in one study they did in mice, where they used what's called CBD isolate, which is like 99% pure CBD, as compared to the studies done by Cornell and CSU, in which they used the whole plant extract, they found that a dosage of 250 milligrams of CBD per kilogram of body weight in these mice created liver toxicity. And so I'm not surprised because of the high dosage that was used. But basically, in the dosages that we're recommending in the field for veterinarians to use, for pet owners to use, those dosages are much lower. And the safety profile appears to be, at this point in time of our study, to be acceptable, you know, as far as the safety of that.
CBD. Dr. Silver, let me break in for a second, because again, the listeners of this show are pet owners. So if they go into a dispensary to purchase CBD, and I will be very honest, I have not gone into a dispensary because I'm concerned, even though in California I can talk about it, I can't dispense it, I can't have it in my office. So I don't even go to a dispensary to see what's there just because I'm concerned Big Brother is watching me. But if somebody goes in and sees a bottle of CBD, a pet owner, how do they know how much is in there?
Well, if you're going into a dispensary as an individual citizen, it doesn't reflect upon your license, your DEA license, your license. You're going in as a citizen. There'll be no admonishment of you for that. But dispensaries, aren't we all? But the dispensaries really are geared to sell THC products. And that's really, and California, I will say, has a love affair with THC and, you know, and was the leader in this whole medical marijuana movement. But it's harder in a dispensary to find a product that would be adapted to animals in terms of the levels of THC, and that we would be certain that would have the same safety profile. So I can't really recommend dispensaries as locations, but there are several reputable companies that are selling well-researched and good quality control CBD products. Some of them are selling exclusively to the veterinarian, such as the company I'm chief medical officer for, RX Vitamins, and I would encourage, you know, clients to talk with their veterinarians about that. And in spite of the admonitions that veterinarians are not supposed to talk about it, it's not really illegal. And California's recently passed some laws that do allow Californians to discuss it, and the recent Veterinary Medical Board pronouncement does allow some wiggle room for veterinarians in California to dispense hemp based products. So the thing that a consumer, a pet owner, should do is they need to be able to talk to the company. And if that bottle of hemp that you're looking at to buy does not have a contact number on it for the company that made it, then I would say try to find another bottle that is responsible enough to refer you to the manufacturer. And you should ask the manufacturer difficult questions like, can you send me an analysis for this product? Have you analyzed it for heavy metals? Have you analyzed it for pesticides and solvents and mycotoxins? These are all things that need to be analyzed and looked at, because the hemp plant, the cannabis plant, is a very hardy plant, but it does things like it pulls up toxins from the soil. So this is one reason it needs to be grown organically. And unfortunately, in the marketplace, the consumer can't trust that they simply label it as organically grown. You need to have really verification of that. And verification needs to be through third-party laboratories and third-party analyses. So it is still difficult in terms of reassuring the consumer that any product they grab is going to have the potency that the label suggests and is not going to have all of these other potential contaminants that could cause problems. Right now, our FDA is in the process of going over the research, of creating some more research, looking at safety, looking at how they're going to be able to regulate this consumer industry for CBD so that we have more standardization of products, so there's better safety in the marketplace. Right now, they say it's the Wild West. It's a gray zone, and it is. And so that means the consumer has to take the responsibility to look into the product to ensure that it is what it says it is and doesn't contain contaminants.
It seems as though when you go to pet stores, everything says hemp. This has hemp in it, that has hemp in it. So if it has hemp, does it necessarily have CBD in it?
It does not. And in fact, it's a common sort of a bait and switch where a company will say this is hemp oil, when what they're really meaning is it is hemp seed oil. Because the hemp plant's a remarkable plant. Not only can it create resins like CBD and THC, and not only can it create fiber that can create fabrics and building materials, you know, and paper, but it also has seeds that when grown for the seed oil is very nutritious. It's very good quality, and the protein in the seeds is very good quality, but the seeds do not contain THC. The seeds do not contain CBD in any kind of measurable, you know, detectable amount. So, and it's very inexpensive. So companies are calling hemp seed oil hemp oil, but hemp is the source of CBD, and many companies worry that if they put CBD on it, they're going to put a target on their back with the FDA. So that's why I'm saying we are still in a gray zone. We are still in the Wild West, and we are all waiting anxiously for the FDA to complete their process so they can help us to create a marketplace that's safer, that the consumer can feel comfortable that what they're purchasing off the shelf has what it says it has and will help their animal and won't hurt their animal.
So Dr. Silver, with you're mentioning right now about the hemp oil. So if you find a product and going, all right, it has hemp oil, is that something I should look for in a pet product, that it's going to be beneficial for my animal? And if it's so good, why aren't they putting it in animal feed?
Okay, two questions.
Two questions.
So the use of hemp is it's sort of a broad spectrum kind of a term that doesn't really designate exactly which part or what part of the hemp plant is being given to you, is being sold to you. So hopefully the label will have some information. Maybe it'll say naturally occurring CBD on it. Maybe it'll say CBD. Maybe it'll say words that aren't CBD but are indicative of CBD. You know, everyone's getting very comfortable now with these little asterisks that, you know, say the FDA has not evaluated this product for blah, 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 blah. So it may be that they use a word that isn't CBD, but it's like CBD, like phytocannabinoid, which is a description of the type of molecule that CBD and THC are. So again, there needs to be standardization, labeling language. There needs to be, you know, so what you see is what you get. And that's a big issue right now. And that's really where the legality does or doesn't come in that it's the FDA and the Food and Drug and Cosmetics Act that demand that a product, you know, have inside what it says on the label. And if not, then the product is considered to be adulterated and illegal. Right now, we don't have that regulation in place yet. So there's been no enforcement. That's why there's no veterinarians that might be recommending hemp or selling hemp have not been had any kind of admonishment from their veterinary medical boards.
And why is hemp seed oil not?
Yeah.
That's all right. I know.
Yeah.
Two questions. So question number two, hemp seed oil, why isn't it in all of animal feed, the dog food that we typically give or the cat food?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not that the pet food industry doesn't want to do that, not that the consumer doesn't want to see that, but our good friends, the FDA, who are trying to keep our marketplace safe for food and drugs and for animal supplements, they have not approved hemp for animal feed at all. You know, not that it's not safe, it just has not been approved. So currently, I'm involved in a group that is working with the FDA to submit a petition so they will approve hemp seed oil and hemp seed cake, which is the protein from the seed, as an approved ingredient in animal feed. Now, remember, the hemp seed oil and the hemp seed cake do not contain any phytocannabinoids like CBD or THC. But nonetheless, it has not been an approved ingredient. It is safe, but we have to show the FDA first in feeding studies that it is safe. And certainly animals like chickens and dairy cattle and beef cattle and sheep and fish and all that, you know, because the hemp, which if it had phytocannabinoids in it, could go into the meat or milk or egg product, the FDA is very concerned about what would the long-term consequences be of humans eating these products that have low levels of CBD in them. What is the health risk to humans? We just don't know yet. It looks safe, but the FDA needs the studies in order to ensure a safe that the food supply and the drug supply to our nation is safe.
Well, I'm chatting right now with Dr. Robert Silver. He is the chief medical officer for RX Vitamins. It's been fascinating, and I know there is so much more we need to talk about, but we need to take a short break. We'll be right back after this break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Silver, before the break, we were talking about hemp oil. And I know that there are various tinctures that can be made for CBD. Are all the oils, right now, one of the things that's been in the news are people who've been vaping, and the oils that are in that vaping solution are causing problems. Is that same thing true for CBD oils, tinctures?
Well, the issue with the vaping has a lot to do with the combustion of those ingredients that have been added to the oil. And if they're not quite certain exactly what the details are yet. But when we're talking about the ingestion of an oil going in through the mouth or being used topically on a sore joint or maybe a transdermal preparation, there's no toxicity issue. Different oils that the CBD is in, we call them carrier oils. Some of them are thicker, some of them are thinner, some of them have more taste to them than others. And so different companies, because there's a lot of competition right now in the marketplace, and companies are trying different carrier oils in the hopes that the consumer will like them better. They're trying different carrier oils and doing pharmacokinetic studies to see if maybe the carrier oil itself affects the bioavailability of the CBD. And right now, the results aren't in, that there is one that is necessarily superior to another, although you will, as you look at different companies' offerings, each company will claim theirs is the best thing since sliced bread. I've chosen hemp seed oil because I think it's the native format to put the CBD in. Other companies are using things called medium-chain triglycerides, which basically are sort of a purified coconut oil, which has sort of a bland and sort of a sweet aftertaste, almost a vanilla aftertaste. I like that a lot as well. Some companies are using olive oil. Some companies are using grapeseed oil. It's really a lot of variety out there. I think from what I have heard anecdotally from hundreds of different consumers and veterinarians that it's really not as that the carrier oil is not as important as the potency, the amount of CBD molecules per milliliter, and the appropriate use of the appropriate amount to give to your animal. So I think that's much more important than the carrier oil. But the certificate of analysis, the information that the company will give you about the purity of the product, will also contain information about the purity of the carrier oil.
Dr. Silver, it sounds as though CBD is a fabulous product, but what can it really be used for? What are the indications? You know, there is so much romance around this that it cures, it treats everything, and the same thing for THC and medical marijuana. But what are they really good for?
Well, you know, and that's a great question. We could spend another whole day on that one. But the studies have shown that through finally being able to do research into THC and CBD, we've discovered that there's a whole system in the body that we never knew existed. I mean, we just discovered this in the mid-1990s. And this is a system that's a paired system with the nervous system that helps to support the nervous system, helps to provide for balance within the body. But it's not just found in the nervous system. There are these receptors for molecules that our own body produces called endocannabinoids. And just by the sheerest of accidents, the sheerest of coincidences, the molecules this plant produces, this cannabis plant produces, mate with the receptors that are already there in our body to receive our endogenous molecules. And this is the largest receptor system in the body. We didn't even know about it, you know, until we started doing research into cannabinoids, you know, in the late 20th century. So this system called the endocannabinoid system is in the organs, it's in the brain, it's in the heart. And so this is one reason why when you take a phytocannabinoid like THC or a phytocannabinoid like CBD or both together, they can mate with a variety of different systems in the body. And if that system is out of whack, it's the job of the cannabinoids to bring the body back into balance. And that's why we're seeing benefits for anxiety, pain, arthritis, epilepsy, cancer, not just helping with cancer nausea, cancer pain. We're actually seeing in some cases with some tumor types, tumors going into remission. It's remarkable. This is why there's so much buzz. It's not because it's hype. It's not because it's some kind of a belief or whatever. It's real. And consumers are experiencing benefits which all the wonderful things we have in conventional medicine may not have been able to touch. And of course, with the rise of social media, everybody's talking about it. So that's why we have this incredible feeding frenzy right now for CBD oil, you know, for pets and for people. It's amazing.
When people oftentimes are trying to figure out a dose themselves, okay, I'm a human and my doctor told me that I'm supposed, or the people at the dispenser, I should probably say, told me that I should take X amount and I'm a 118-pound woman. So if I have a 5-pound chihuahua, I'm supposed to give it, let's give it a drop of the stuff. How are people supposed to figure out how much? Is it someone such as you and RX Vitamins that's going to tell us? Or how do they figure out, small dog, little bit? Or do they take a lot more per body size?
Well, it is medicine-like, you know, although the FDA, if the FDA says we call it medicine, it has to be FDA approved. It's nutraceutical. It's a supplement. But we have to dose it based on the concentration of how many milligrams of CBD are in each drop or each milliliter. You know, we need to know that first of all. That's what the label and the certificate of analysis help us know. What does the animal weigh? You know, so we can dose the milligrams of CBD based on pounds of body weight. We would give it twice daily. And then we also look at the severity of the condition. So I've done a pilot dosing study in well over 100 animals at least. And I found that there's actually more of a range than one specific hard and fast dosage. And the range goes from like a tenth of a milligram per pound to about 3 milligrams per pound twice daily. And the lower the dosages seem to work better for anxiety, which is good because it doesn't cost as much. And the higher doses seem to work better for more painful conditions, for epilepsy, for cancer, for things that need a little more push behind them. So this is one reason why it really upsets me that the veterinarians have been removed from this conversation, because it really does need veterinary input to help the pet parent know how much of a good quality hemp they should be giving to their pet. And that's what RX Vitamins has been doing. You know, I developed these products for RX Vitamins 4.5 years ago. We've put over 250,000 bottles in the hands of veterinarians in that 4 years. And I've gotten nothing but positive feedback. But from that, you know, I know the product is pure, it's safe, and it works. But the frustration is that many veterinarians, as much as they would like to, are feeling their hands tied because of the regulations still. And that means that the butt tender at the dispensary or somebody, you know, in a social media group or online is giving them advice who may not know anything, you know? And that's frustrating. We need to have responsible professionals involved and engaged and interacting with pet owners to help them do this better.
With these products, RX Vitamins, your own, that you feel very comfortable with, and I honestly, we've used your products in my practice and really enjoy them, and clients do think that they are very beneficial. There's oftentimes that placebo effect where you and I take something, it's like, oh, I feel so much better just after having, you know, 2 days worth. What should people expect? How long should they expect to see the effect taking place in their pet's body?
Well, if you recall from a prior question, I talked about the fact that the body has this endocannabinoid system, and it has these endogenous molecules the body produces that actually help to regulate the things that we're taking the plant cannabinoids for. And so the more deficiency that a given animal has in these endocannabinoids, the faster and the quicker the phytocannabinoids work. But because there's no way to really know that, my advice to the pet owner is to start with a low dosage, like maybe, let's say, 1/10 or 2/10 of a milligram per pounds of body weight twice daily, and start low. and give that for a week or two and see if you get results, because many times you will, and that's less expensive, less to give, lasts longer, all those things. But if after a week or so you're not seeing the results that you were using, you got the CBD for, then I would say you can safely and easily double that dosage and try to keep doing it in this fashion until you find the dosage that is going to work for your pet's size and your pet's severity of its problem.
That I think is a great way of doing it, starting low, working up slowly, watching.
Yes.
Now, is there going to be a best way to give it? Is it going to be better absorbed if it's an oil or if it's a chew or a topical? Does it matter what you're treating as to the way that you give it?
We are just now kind of getting some answers to that question. And certainly it can be given orally, it can be given with food. There aren't any transdermal products yet, but I'm sure there will be. There are several studies that have compared these routes of administration. And it looks as though you can give it orally, and it's best if it's given with a small amount of fatty food, because it's a fatty material itself, and the fatty food facilitates its absorption and increases its blood levels by allowing it to be absorbed with the fatty food. But it still absorbs fine if you just squirt it into the mouth and it absorbs like sublingually or through the mucous membranes of the mouth, or if you put it on their daily meal. I personally recommend that they not put it on top of a big bowl of food so it gets buried in all the food and digesta, but instead that they put it on a small amount of bride food that's fatty and give it to their pet before or after eating, an hour before or 2 to 3 hours after, to get the best absorption for this very expensive product. But I think, you know, it just works. It really does. And all these different routes of administration do seem to work. Again, it's this competition that we're seeing in the marketplace, and it's also this academic desire to understand better how these things are absorbed. But I think it really giving it day to day, every day, twice daily, it doesn't matter how fast it gets absorbed because you build up the blood levels over time and it works.
Speaking of working, now I've heard that sometimes people are saying in order for CBD to be activated, for it to really, you know, get to its full potential, you need to give a little bit of that THC with the CBD. Is that true?
That is an urban myth, and it's being perpetuated in the dispensaries. Because I've heard many budtenders say that, but when you look at the actual science, that is not true. One thing we know is that CBD may interfere with the may actually hasten the metabolism of THC. So your high effect from the THC is blunted a bit, which could be a good thing for people that wind up having issues with too much THC on board. But no, they are both absorbed through their own mechanisms, and you don't need the one to activate the other. In fact, the hemp oil that we've been selling from RX Vitamins doesn't contain any THC. The THC has been removed from it, and yet we have had, you know, huge anecdotal reports of its benefit for a variety of complaints, from cancer to epilepsy to anxiety to arthritis. But in order to document that, I'm currently involved in a series of studies of our material. I just completed a pharmacokinetic study that shows we achieve good blood levels after about 30 to 60 minutes of administration. And I'm about to start on a study in Austin, Texas, in dogs to document the value of the RX Hemp Forte in dogs that have arthritis. So I'm trying to get that research because so we can document it and make the veterinarians feel more comfortable that this product, in fact, is not subject to the placebo effect, but does have bona fide benefits.
Talking about THC and CBD, this whole conversation, you informing us, has really been about CBD, but people are so used to also hearing about medical marijuana, oftentimes in the same sentences. Is THC medical marijuana as safe as they promote it to be, or can it really be toxic to pets?
Dogs, in particular, amazingly enough, of all the species that have been studied, have the highest concentration of receptors for THC in the parts of their brain that govern coordination and heart rate and breathing. And we have seen a few deaths in dogs from massive THC overdoses. Some of those have been because the THC comes with chocolate in human edibles, and chocolate is even more toxic than THC. But high enough levels of THC can definitely send the dog to the ER. So one thing we know about THC, and this is again why veterinarians need to be part of the conversation, as they now are starting to be allowed to be in California, because there is a process called tolerance in which if we give very small amounts of THC that don't create psychotropic activity, like maybe a tenth of a milligram per pound twice daily, give it for like a week, the dog develops tolerance such that you could then increase that dosage maybe 10 times. And it wouldn't have any adverse reactions other than some sedation. And the higher dosage of THC might be more clinically beneficial. But THC is still officially a Schedule I drug by the DEA. For a veterinarian to recommend it or talk about it, except if there is some legal recourse, like with the bill that was just passed in California, they are committing a crime to do that, because it's a Schedule I, and it's against the law to recommend the use of a Schedule I. Human doctors, they have the law behind them that says, on the state level, that says, even though THC is federally a Schedule I, these state-licensed doctors that have passed these tests and this training are allowed to recommend the use of THC products to humans. We never got that language in the legislation for veterinarians. Hopefully, we'll start seeing some more involvement of the veterinary community in medical marijuana as well as in medical hemp.
Dr. Silver, I know we could keep going for hours, mm-hmm. but alas, our time is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Do you have any final words of caution and hope for the use of medical marijuana and CBD for our veterinary patients?
I think that it is very hopeful that we have something new that can help our pets in ways that our conventional medicines can't. But I would urge caution. And I would say you should try to engage your veterinarian, and hopefully they will be amenable at least to discussing it with you, or are referring you to sources of education that are independent that you can learn more about it. But I would say the other thing is that CBD does not treat everything, and as much as people seem to think it does. And I have seen a couple of animals that had uncompensated heart failure that were given dosages of CBD, that it caused their heart failure to get worse. They went into a crisis, and some of them died. So it's not across the board 100% safe. This is why I think it's very important to engage your veterinarian in the conversation. So that's kind of my advice.
Thank you so much. This has just been amazing. It's just fabulous information that I truly feel people can trust. On our website, we'll have various links that Dr. Silver has recommended. You can mention your book again. I think the Medical Marijuana for Your Pet book is one that is really going to be helpful for pet owners. Thank you. Hopefully we'll have you back on again when medical marijuana and CBD are totally legal. We have all this information behind it. So thank you for listening. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you that best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.